It is amazing that we can come together to start a podcast like this, not to only empower maintenance tech, but also to shed some light on the maintenance technician as a whole.
Right.
You know, because they deserve to be celebrated. They need to know that they're important. They need to know that they are necessary and they are an asset to the industry and not a liability to the industry. Right.
Let's go.
Hey guys, welcome to the first episode of the Maintenance Diaries. This is an exciting moment for both of us, man. It's been a while. It's been a few months in the making.
Yep.
This is necessary for not only for us as maintenance tech, but it is necessary for the apartment industry as a whole. Mm-hmm. I'm your host, Michael.
And I'm Fred, and we have been in the industry for quite some time. I mean, from different perspectives. So I get, just to give you guys a little bit about our backgrounds, I've been in maintenance for over 15 plus years. Started working in maintenance whenever I was working for Marriott. I was in the kitchen cooking, ended up going to their maintenance department, and we were doing renovations for those, hotel, of course, Marriott Resort. And we were doing renovations. So started from there and then got into residential a few more years down the line. And then I've been in it ever since. So I've been everything from a groundsman to a tech to a supervisor. That's just a little bit about my background. And what about you, Mike?
Man, that's actually pretty cool, man. I have a similar story. So first of all, I am from Guyana, South America. And growing up with my dad, he had a furniture shop where we build like tables and beds and chairs, you know, you name it, anything for the house, we built it and we sold it to stores. So that was my introduction into not maintenance, I should say, but into carpentry.
Gotcha.
And then years later came here to the US, and that transitioned into remodeling homes, remodeling bathrooms, kitchens, you name it, you know. So that has been a good experience for me, and been in that industry of the home improvement industry, been in that industry for over a decade now. Mm-hmm. And as they say, all good things must come to an end. And, you know, the time was up where we just decided to, hey, let's go ahead and take a break and kind of figure out what is our next steps, what we want to do next. So for me, the easy transition for me was to pivot into the apartment industry. And I had one of my good friends, Amos Page from South Carolina. He was the one that actually convinced me to get into the apartment industry. You know, he said like, hey, you can easily be a maintenance tech because you already have all of these skill set from the construction side of things. And now you can transition that into the apartment side of things, you know? So I actually listened to his advice and I started through a temp agency and in South Carolina. And I started as a groundskeeper and slowly upgraded to a make-ready tech. And after the make-ready tech, the company decided to hire me on full-time. So I left the agency, got full-time with the apartment industry itself, with the company itself. And from a make-ready tech, I made my way up to a maintenance technician. And I've been doing that for a number of years now. And that is my transition into the industry. And I've seen You know, I've seen the good, the bad. I mean, both of us, you know what I'm saying? We've seen the good, the bad.
Absolutely.
And the ugly, you know? And it is good that both of us have that experience. Mm-hmm. And also, it is amazing that we can come together to start a podcast like this, not to only empower maintenance tech,
yep,
but also to shed some light on the maintenance technician as a whole.
Right.
You know, because they deserve to be celebrated. They mm-hmm. need to know that they're important.
Yep.
They need to know that they are necessary and they are an asset to the industry and not a liability to the industry.
Right. Well, with that being said, you know, we're going to have these conversations about, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Oh, yeah.
But instead of getting directly into the bad, let me ask you, what was some of the good things about, you know, working in this field? Like, what interested you? What, you know, what kept you motivated in this field and what'd you like about it?
Man, that's a good question, bro. First of all, the apartment industry mm-hmm. is the same as the hotel industry, right?
Absolutely.
Which I put under the umbrella of customer service. Yep. So one thing that I've done when I was working with, you know, my dad and my brother, when we had the home improvement company, mm-hmm. it is customer facing because you're always dealing with customers, right?
Absolutely.
And the residents in the apartment industry, they are like customers too because it's customer service. So you are providing a service, right?
Right.
And the reason why I pivot from the general construction into the maintenance side of it is because I already developed that customer service, wanted to help people,
yeah,
love to solve problems mm-hmm. and make people's life easier, you know?
Right.
So honestly, the main thing for me, it was people focus mm-hmm. and how I can help and how I can solve a potential problem that someone have,
right,
and how I can be of service. Mm-hmm. Because with the tools that I have acquired in my previous role, it just makes sense for me to bring that into the maintenance side of it. Mm-hmm. So I didn't come like straight from, hey, get out of school, get into the maintenance industry, you know, mm-hmm. get into customer service. It was just a gradual growth, I should say. And for me, that is the thing that I like most about it, mm-hmm. is the customer service side.
Right.
Greeting customers, you know, and sometimes residents become friends.
Absolutely.
And you create a rapport mm-hmm. and you create a circle of trust between resident and employee, you know.
I agree.
That's my main thing.
It was similar for me, kind of. Mm-hmm. Because I did start off in the hotel, and yeah. I was started off as a cook. So mm-hmm. we would come in contact with, you know, a bunch of different people from all over out in Panama City, where I'm from.
Yeah.
So it was more customer focused on everything, and you had to have that good customer service.
Yeah.
So it was kind of similar to me, and then me getting into maintenance from that point. And then me going to move to Jacksonville, of course, and then getting into maintenance again in residential. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize how was the same realm. We would come in contact right. with residents that are staying there at all times, and you would be basically the face of the company. Mm-hmm. So for me, getting into maintenance, it was definitely like being able to meet different people. I use that as a way to kind of grow a network a little bit, because you never know who you're going to meet. And then for me also, it was more of a situation where I like fixing things. My dad was a plumber.
Yeah.
So he was that go-to guy that everybody wanted to have on the job. He was that person. So, mm-hmm. and I saw that was like, man, you know, just working with your hands was, you know, something that can get you even further in the game and have you a hot commodity for everyone around you. So, and that was what I liked. I like, you know, fixing things. I found the joy in tearing something apart or even just figuring out how to fix it.
Right.
Because that's usually what I like to do. Man, I've over the years, I've learned that I'm actually a good troubleshooter.
Yeah.
I've learned how to troubleshoot things pretty well and pretty fast. So that just having that aspect, that's what I really love about the job. Yeah. Like, you never know. It's the same thing, but it's not the same thing, because you never know what you're going to deal with in this realm.
That's true.
And that's
true.
What I enjoy about it. Like, yeah. The day in and day out of just the same thing, it gets a little bit daunting. Mm-hmm. But then when you get hit with something that you've never seen before, it's kind of, your mind starts to work and go, okay, so how does this work? How can I fix it? And then what's the fastest way to fix it? So, you know, that's just about what it was for me. That's what I enjoy about the whole, you know, working in maintenance and just being that tech. So, that's what
I love. Honestly, I can relate to that, because I also love to figure stuff out, mm-hmm. and diagnose things to find an answer. And then if I can't find the answer, I would go look elsewhere where I can get information online to fix it. Because for like, I'm the type of guy, right? Once I focus on something and a problem that I'm trying to fix, mm-hmm. I don't want to go and say, hey, I'll come back to this tomorrow or later on.
Yeah,
I want to fix it like right away, you know what I'm saying? So
of course,
whatever I can do to get it fixed, to get it done,
you know, I will get it done. Sorry, bro. I just had to say it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, bro. I mean,
that's true.
We'll get into that on another note, but yeah.
But honestly, with that kind of mindset for not just myself, but for you and like for other maintenance techs and stuff, mm-hmm. bro, honestly makes you valuable because you keep adding tools to your toolbox. Mm-hmm. You keep learning something new every day. So once you learn stuff new every day, you're actually adding value to yourself.
Absolutely.
And making yourself an asset to a company and not a liability. And that shows that, hey, I am resourceful.
Mm-hmm.
I think outside the box.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it takes to get the job done, I am willing to explore different opportunities in diagnosing a problem and get the problem resolved, you know?
Absolutely.
And that shows dedication, it shows focus.
Yep.
And it also shows consistency, man.
Like a mother. Definitely consistency. Showing like those consistencies of having to take care of these work tickets and work on, you know, certain things like appliances, HVAC, plumbing. Mm-hmm. We have all of this stuff, you know, all of these multi things in our toolbox, and mm-hmm. Us having all these skill trades that we're not just a professional, but as far like what's the word I'm looking for? One skill set isn't the main focus. We are definitely multi trades of different things: plumbing, electrical, HVAC, ground, like. Even irrigation sometimes.
That is true. That
roofing. Is true. I mean, the skill set goes, you know, on and on. But what are some of the challenges that you have faced in this industry that you feel that needs to be taken a deeper look into?
Honestly, some of the challenges I've faced. This can come from so many different angles, but
I agree.
Which one I can pick? One of the challenges I faced is, let us say if there's a problem that you are fixing, let's say appliance problem, and it is appliance that
number one problem, right?
And it's an appliance that the residents use, right?
Uh-huh.
And you actually need a part that you have to get for the resident in order for them to use that appliance. Mm-hmm. And that is something that they use religiously, like every single day. And you have to go order the part. And let us say we use one vendor, one main vendor, just to order that part, right?
Right.
And in the apartment industry, that would be HD, right?
Mm-hmm.
HD doesn't have it, but somebody else outside of HD has the part.
Right.
Sometimes it's not waiting to get the part, but it is going through the different chain of command just to get an approval to spend the money outside of the vendor that the company recommends, right?
Absolutely.
And sometimes that can be frustrating, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the resident is waiting for you to fix the problem that they have because this is something that they use on a daily basis, right? So with you waiting for the chain of command to say, hey, let us say my supervisor, right? My supervisor said, okay, let me talk to the property manager. And sometimes the property manager say, well, hey, this might be out of my control. Let me talk to the regional property man. Mm-hmm. And it keeps going up and you keep waiting on approval for something that is needed, which is a problem for the maintenance, mm-hmm. the maintenance field, period. And during that time, the resident is getting frustrated.
It's like an upward snowball.
Right, thing. which would lead to having bad reviews. Mm-hmm. Because the best form of advertisement is word of mouth, right?
That's true.
And if something that is that important, that needs to be addressed right away, and you as a technician, only so much that you can do.
That is fact.
Once it's out of your hands, you have to wait on
till they
on the chain of command to get the approval to order it is going to come this time. Mm-hmm. And while you're waiting.
But by that time, it's been how long?
Sometimes it could be a week. Sometimes it could be two. So now you got to sit down and figure like, oh, I need to call the resident and tell them this. I need to call the resident and tell them just to keep them calm and just to keep the atmosphere cool, mm-hmm. And try to see if you can get some more patience out of them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you are trying to wrap the snowball effect that is happening and try to find a solution, mm-hmm. And sometimes I would just have to go out of my way and say, you know what, let me go to this vacant unit because it's not been rented for so long.
Right.
And now I have to pull the part from that unit mm-hmm. to give to the resident because it is something that is needed.
That is true.
And that could be frustrating. So those are some of the challenges that I've encountered. There are many, we'll definitely talk about in future episodes, but definitely that is one of the challenges that I face in working in the industry as a maintenance technician. What about you, bro?
Honestly, it's really the same for me too.
It's
appliances. Appliances is always a hit or miss. It could be the dish, like most residents use dishwashers the most, mm-hmm. microwaves the most, and then their washers and dryers religiously. So like if you're waiting on a part, these parts are expensive.
Yeah.
So even just like a simple part of a little sensor, mm-hmm. it costs you an upward $100 and something.
Yeah.
And so like you said, that chain of command, like I said, is an upward snowball effect because now you're going to this person, to mm-hmm. this person, to this person, and that ball gets bigger. And then by the time it rolls back down, the resident's already pissed off and they're already saying, hey, I've waited for this long. I need concession. I need this. So mm-hmm. definitely appliances are the big challenges. HVAC, not so much.
Right.
But we'll get into what HVAC is all about because, in maintenance, that's one of the main things you do have to learn, and they always want you to get your EPA. But the problem with that is that we'll get into in the future thing is some guys have the EPA, but some guys really don't know how to diagnose it.
Right. Properly. Which is one of the main things that maintenance tech should have.
I agree. And I've went through the system of going to trade school and getting the HVAC license. Shout out to ICT, that's where I went to for the Chamblee College. So they taught us how to fully diagnose a system as far as mm-hmm. Troubleshooting the electrical side of it. Cause mm-hmm. most of the time in HVAC, it is electrical. It's always mm-hmm. a capacitor. It's always joints. Mind blank that quick already. It's always a fuse, of course. Mm-hmm. It's always just something. Or even just a dirty air filter.
Yeah.
Those are your main things. Leaks and stuff like that are they're very rare, but they do happen. And sometimes they happen at the wrong time.
Yeah.
But if you know how to diagnose the system, electrical side of it, you'll be fine because then you know the refrigeration cycle. You know how mm-hmm. to, test from the thermostat to the indoor unit, from the thermostat to the outdoor unit. You know where mm-hmm. everything's ran. So we'll get into those things also.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
I want to, hammer down to these guys and know, this is what we're going to deal with and this is what you need to know. So, you know, that's pretty much some of the challenges. We can go down a list, honestly. We can go down a list of what these challenges are.
Oh, yeah, we sure can.
But, you know, we're not going to get all into that on one episode. We're going to, you know, work our way up and keep on going.
Yeah.
From that. So, go ahead, bro. My bad. I'm sorry.
To be honest with you, you know, this episode is just about, it's just about formal introductions, you know, mm-hmm. who we are, what we do, what is the reason for the podcast, and so, what we hope to accomplish with the podcast.
So what is the reason you would say we started this podcast? Like, what's that core reason why we decided to, you know, shed some spotlight in this industry and what, you know, needs to be, you know, considered, looked at? However you want to call it.
Yeah.
What's one of those main things that you decided, okay, this is something that we need to talk about?
Yeah.
Something that needs to be addressed.
Honestly, the reasons for me is I've talked to a lot of maintenance technicians, mm-hmm. you know, and everyone that I talk to, they always express their frustrations of they're not being listened to. Mm-hmm. They feel like they're not being heard, mm-hmm. and they're not being seen, and they have so many complaints, you know, of reasons why the employee turnover ratio is high,
right?
Because you have some technicians they want to come to a company and join that company, be an employee, because they have a number of skill set that they have to offer to not only better themselves, but also better the company, right?
Right.
And because of the company culture and the way they feel that they've been treated sometimes, you know, a lot of them feel like they've been treated less than, mm-hmm. and they're not being appreciated for what they do and how they do it. And sometimes ways that they do things to make the budget cost effective, mm-hmm. for the company and for the property, you know, and they just want to be respected. They just want to be treated fairly. A lot of them mentioned that there are some cases they are overworked, mm-hmm. and underpaid.
Absolutely.
Honestly, I can attest to that, because mm-hmm. I feel as maintenance technicians, we are all underpaid.
Absolutely.
You know, for the value that we bring to the company, mm-hmm. and how important we are.
Absolutely.
You know, and I always say, maintenance techs are like teachers and nurses. You know, a doctor can come in and perform the surgery, but the nurses are the ones that's doing all of the preparation, all of the groundwork to make sure everything is smooth. So when he comes in, his job can be done in an effective manner, right? The same thing with the teachers. Teachers are the most valuable asset in the education system, mm-hmm. because without the teachers, you would never have a Jeff Bezos, you never have a Elon Musk, you never had a Mark Zuckerberg,
right?
Or you'll never have, you know, a lot of the founders for the apartment industry and other industry, you know, even though some of them did not pursue college, but they have some level of educational training. And it's because of the teachers that taught these guys, mm-hmm. you know, got them to where they are now.
Right.
So in the apartment industry, mm-hmm. the maintenance technicians are that important.
But just to even piggyback off of that, like,
yeah.
When you say that they're not being appreciated, they don't feel seen, they don't feel, you know, helpful, you know, or anything by these companies, mm-hmm. then what do you say about their quote unquote maintenance appreciation type of thing? So isn't that the reason why these companies develop those sectors to say, hey guys, we hear you,
right?
We see you,
right.
You're appreciated, we love you. Thank you for being a big part of our team. Thank you for, you know, giving the sacrifices day in and day out, mm-hmm. from work orders to residents being angry about something, for being very attentive, starting, you know, being the first order of defense.
Right.
So wouldn't you say that that's the whole reason why they started the maintenance appreciation, to show like, hey, you guys are being seen, you are heard. What do you say to that?
Honestly, the maintenance appreciation, which we have both been a part of.
Absolutely.
The maintenance appreciation would happen like 1 week out of a month every year. I forgot the month. Mm-hmm. But for the month of maintenance appreciation, you might get, I remember this company that I worked at as a tech. The maintenance appreciation, they give us like a small toolkit. Mm-hmm. That they got. It looked like it came from Dollar General.
Yeah.
And you get like a baby pliers, and you get a card saying, hey, thank you for maintenance appreciation, and they might buy you lunch. Mm-hmm. And say, hey, we appreciate you, and thank you for your hard work and everything that you do. And after the maintenance appreciation week is over, mm-hmm. it just goes back to square one. The techs are forgotten about, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, but do this, do that. And some people say, thank you, you're the best. But honestly, for me, if you really want to appreciate me, and honestly, this feeling is supposed to be reciprocated on both ends. Mm-hmm. But if you want to appreciate me and everything I do, don't just say it, show it.
Yeah.
So a lot of the techs that I've talked to is not about them saying it, is about them showing it, follow through.
Yeah, but isn't that the reason why they do maintenance appreciation? So it would not to say that it would sound like we're saying we don't appreciate the maintenance appreciation, mm-hmm. but wouldn't it be us saying like, you know, we're being kind of entitled, you would say? They were like, okay, we're showing you that we appreciate you, want to do this, so why are y'all acting so entitled? And like you said, like, You after that weekend is yep. done, mm-hmm. it goes back to square one. But you know, they can't show the appreciation every day, every week, every month. You know, I get that you can't mm-hmm. do that because they still have a business to run.
That is
got
true.
Stuff to do.
That is true.
But I would probably say like, to be appreciated, like mm-hmm. maintenance really doesn't care about the tools and the. I mean. If you're going to get us tools, get us some quality tools. Don't get exactly. the cheap Dollar General tools.
Exactly.
Yes. But also, we would actually like it in the form of dollars. That's like the main thing. Like, as another bonus.
Yeah.
That I would Man. Say, okay, that's more appreciated than anything because, like we said, the pay isn't all there. So mm-hmm. wouldn't you say like, or wouldn't they say, you know, we're doing all this stuff for you for Maintenance Appreciation Week mm-hmm. where you're getting yeah. a meal, you're getting these gifts and stuff like that. Wouldn't they say like, okay, guys, we did that. So why are you still feeling unappreciative?
Honestly, I can go. There's so many ways that I can go into this, mm-hmm. but I'll just cover the base of this.
So okay.
We can probably discuss it further in another episode.
Absolutely.
To be honest, if you really, and this has nothing to do with property managers, right? Because property managers, they can only go so far. Mm-hmm. If you want to have a better relationship between employer and employee, it mm-hmm. starts from the top. And the reason why it starts from the top, people, let us say the CEOs for Google and Microsoft and these places, right? Mm-hmm. In order for them to be on that mountaintop, right, that right. they're on, it's because of the employees that they employ.
Absolutely.
That work tirelessly, right, to keep them where they are. Mm-hmm. So they should be appreciated, right?
Right.
So with maintenance appreciation or... Yeah, with maintenance appreciation, for me personally, if you really appreciate me as a maintenance technician, right, or right. any other maintenance technician, if you appreciate me, appreciate what I do, mm-hmm. appreciate what I bring to the table, because as techs, we bring a lot of valuable skill set yeah. to the job,
yep.
and at the same time, in some cases, where there's something that has to be fixed, mm-hmm. we find ways around it, right? And saving the company money from buying a new, whether it's a new microwave or a new washing machine or a new dryer, right?
Right.
We are constantly adding tools to our toolbox, saving the company a lot of dollars in the long run, right? Mm-hmm. So if you really appreciate what I do and what I bring to add value to the company and to add value to myself, show me the appreciation in a better pay than what I'm currently making, right?
Right.
Show me appreciation by offering me free housing.
That's a big one.
Because if you really appreciate me, right?
But they, like you said, offer you free housing, but they were like, you know, they were doing it before.
Yeah.
So what's the whole reason why they stopped doing free housing for employees? I got an answer, but I'll let you.
All right. Well, for me, honestly, it all, in everything in business, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter what business, the bottom line is dollars and cents, mm-hmm. right? So sometimes you have companies that would start off small and they would do amazing things. Mm-hmm. A lot of startups do this, right?
Yeah.
They would do amazing things for their employees, and employees would love going to work, right? They love waking up in the morning, going to something that brings them joy.
I agree.
Right? And that's how we all should feel.
Mm-hmm.
And they give them, they roll out the red carpet, show them, hey, you are important to us because yeah. without you, there will be no us.
Yeah.
You took a chance to come and work for us, not knowing the future of where we're going to go, right?
Right?
And we took the chance on you because here are the skill sets that you show on paper,
mm-hmm.
and you come in and you perform everything that you show on paper. You execute it with excellence, right?
Right.
And we are appreciative of that. And because of that, we can grow from our base tier to a higher tier.
Mm-hmm.
We can now go and partner with other companies and corporations and grow our brand, right?
Right.
So these companies would get big, and let us say they go and they partner with another corporation for, let's say, exorbitant amount of cash,
mm-hmm.
which would also enhance their influence.
Okay.
And sometimes as the company grows and the larger it gets, it starts forgetting about the small man. It's a lot of them forgot why they started and what's the goal that they're trying to achieve, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they just start forgetting the small man because greed started to take preeminence. And also, when you have shareholders, now you want to make the shareholders happy,
right?
Versus making the people happy that got you to where you are right now.
Yeah.
So now, in order for you to make the shareholders happy, you start slowly taking away those incentives and those things that started in the beginning to get you to where you are now.
Mm-hmm.
You slowly started taking those things away.
I agree.
And giving it to the shareholders, because the shareholders don't care about the people that work for you. They care about how they can get a handsome ROI
mm-hmm.
by investing in you. They invest in you so they can make a profit.
Absolutely.
So now they don't care about how they make the profit. They just care about how you can provide them with the expectation that they set for you to meet.
Right.
And that is what I think they started. That's the reason why I think they start pulling back these perks
mm-hmm.
so they can make their shareholders happy.
Yeah.
And for me, that is wrong.
That's what the turn that I was going to take as well.
Yeah.
Because I've worked with companies where they started off
mm-hmm.
giving you free housing and
yep.
doing this. But also, too, another big thing is, as they are, you know, joining forces with these other companies,
mm-hmm.
they are starting to only be management. So now they don't have that say to say,
yeah.
you know, employees can get this free
yeah.
rent,
mm-hmm.
free housing. You know what I mean? So they're only listening to whichever company was the company that came in and built the place.
Right.
And then now they need somebody to manage it, which is X amount of X company this. They're saying, okay, we can manage it. We can lease it up for you, get people in here and go from there. But in the grand scheme of things, they should be able to say, in order for us to do this for you, we also want to make sure our employees have a better quality of life, because that goes back to pay as well. Rent's getting higher, and pay needs to be higher. But in order to offset that as far as maintenance-wise, free housing is the biggest portion of what people pay.
Right.
So if you can you know, give us that free housing, that will actually alleviate some stress off of us. And then we will be staying on site, being able to be more attentive to the property of any type of emergencies or anything that needs to happen. And I think that would be, you know, a better situation in our instance. But, you know, like you said, it's because these companies don't own anything anymore. Yeah. They got these other shareholders and people, other companies that came in and built it. So now they're just managing. And most of these companies now manage. They don't really own anything. Even when they do have a building that they own, for some reason, they're still not, you know, looking to give their maintenance that quality of life or free housing that they need. So, yeah, I can agree with you on that one. You hit it spot on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a good thing. So to even just piggyback off of that and then segue and probably jump into another situation, because we know how... why we started this podcast. My question is, who do you want to reach with this podcast? What's our target audience? Who do we want to build this relationship between maintenance, employees, employers? Like, what's the link of you trying to, the goal of what we're trying to reach?
Man, that's a good question. That's a great question, actually. So the people that I hope that we can reach is mainly maintenance technicians.
Yeah.
The reason why it is, well, the podcast is also focused on not only maintenance technician, but leasing agents, property managers, supervisors, RPM, you name it. It's focused on the entire industry as a whole.
From the ground to the top.
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But the main focus is really the technicians, right?
Right.
And the reason why I wanted to reach them, because a lot of technicians, it doesn't matter where you go, they all have the same grievances, right?
True.
But a lot of them are afraid to speak up because they are afraid of losing that security they have by having the job.
Mm-hmm.
So they are afraid to speak up, and because they are afraid to speak, they would capitulate to whatever whatever the culture is of that company, right?
Right.
And they would have all of this pent up anger on the inside, and they're frustrated,
that's true.
And they're going to let it out amongst themselves, but they're not going to say, hey, let me reach out to the property manager, see if the property manager can talk to this person to see how we can come to an agreement to enhance the culture of the company, right?
Right.
Or to enhance the culture of the workplace, I should say, the workplace morale.
Even doing that, if you the guys should speak more up. Wouldn't they look at it as, and this is just me playing devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Wouldn't they look at it as complaining, like you are being negative? You're only looking at, you know, the downside of everything. You should come in with a better attitude.
Right.
So wouldn't they look at it as like, you know, he's coming in negative. And like they say, one negative apple can spoil the whole bunch, or one rotten apple can spoil the whole bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got to get rid of them because the chatter will grow louder, and it will grow louder between the team.
Yeah.
So how do you explain, you know, express your grievances without coming off as being considered negative.
Yeah, yeah.
Of the whole bunch, how would you face that?
So I'll say this: in every company and in every individual's life, mm-hmm. we all need room to grow. Nothing is perfect, and how you get from where you are to perfection.
Okay.
It's called growth, right?
Right.
And the only way you can grow, you have to realize, hey, I have a problem here that I need to address. I may not like it, mm-hmm. but if you see beyond not the complaining, it's just pointing out something that needs to be addressed.
Right.
And if you can look beyond the problem and look to the solution mm-hmm. and look at the benefits of what that solution can bring, mm-hmm. then that is going to create a better camaraderie between employer and employee, right?
Right.
So sometimes some people would have a lot of amazing opportunities within the company and they would still complain mm-hmm. because, and now that I think they're just unhappy with themselves. And if you're getting all of these amazing benefits
right.
or amazing perks or whatever have you, and you're still complaining, then you don't need to be there. You need to go somewhere else
yeah.
that makes you happy.
I agree.
Right? But if you're at a place of work, right?
Right.
If you're at a place of work and you love what you do, but the environment is not conducive mm-hmm. to your well-being and to your growth, then you should speak about it.
Yeah.
And companies, they cannot say, well, he's complaining or that one's complaining, because somewhere else there are two and three and yeah. four others just like him complaining. And in the age of social media, if you wouldn't listen to them, then they're going to take it to social media. And before you know it, it could spread.
But even before and you even become, take it to social media or yeah. take it anywhere else outside of that realm, yeah. you're going to your immediate supervisor or uh-huh. immediate property manager or regional. Some guys are not confrontational, so they don't want to go to those grievances. So now, let's say what we experience now, companies give you the employee survey to, you know, see the temperature, see what the culture is.
Yeah.
My question is this, like, is why do you think these guys are not, because most of it's anonymous, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. why do you think these guys are still not putting those issues on those surveys to bring to the forefront to the company to show, like, hey, this is what we're feeling. This is what needs to be done. Why are they not putting those on those surveys?
Honestly, because of, let's say, the place that they work at. Mm-hmm. Let us say if the pulse of the environment is aggressive and it's harsh,
right,
that can translate to the mental and into the subconscious mm-hmm. and it can create this person who used to be outspoken, now person of fear, because if I speak, then there's the possibility, even though it says anonymous, mm-hmm. then I can be thinking in my mind like, hey, they might know, well, it's coming from this property, so it has to be me mm-hmm. and it can cost me my job, you know. So I think what not more employees, but employers, I should say, and also employees that are at a high level.
Yeah.
I think in order to get a better solution and to create a better company culture is asking questions. And also have the discernment of your team.
Yeah.
Observe your team. You know, ask questions. Hey, how are you? How are things going? Is there anything that I can do to help? Is there anything that you see that is going left? And is there a way that we can address it? You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes you have employees that are very timid and don't want to go and sit in the office and say, hey, I have this problem, and is there any way that I can get help to get it fixed? Whether it's I need more tools, or I need more training or whatever the case is. I mean, questions simple as that, people sometimes are afraid to ask because in their mind, they already see the outcome as negative. So it would be a great thing if the if their subordinates can take the initiative to say, hey, how are you? How is work? I mean, how do you feel about, you know, about work where you are? Is there anything that I can do to help? And the reason why I say that,
they're not going to say it, though.
That's true. That's true.
Like, we know.
The reason why they're not going to say it, bro, because there's some people that care and some people that only care about themselves.
Right.
And the reason why I am coming from this angle is because I've had experience with that too, right? As being far, being a business owner.
But when you say experience as far as that too, are you saying like as far as you going to your superior and you're telling them what's going on or you're telling them some of the grievances you have and they're not getting done, or experience as far as like you going to your grievances and saying, okay, now I see it getting handled. And I see they really care about my opinion. And so they're moving in a direction to kind of better help, you know, my grievances about what's going on or what's happening or what needs to be done to help me better do my job. What is it?
Well, I haven't experienced that yet in the apartment industry.
Okay.
But the experience that I'm talking about is from being a business owner with my dad and my brother, right?
Right.
So we all would, you know, let's say we have a project to do. We have a house to remodel. Mm. And we have 5-6 guys working with us, right?
Right.
We always observe, even though, you know, you're working alongside these guys, you give them, hey, today, here's what we're going to do. Mm. You know, if there's something that you don't know, don't be afraid to tell us. Because we're all here to help each other.
Right.
It's not no big I's and little U's. Mm-hmm. It is team.
Right.
Teamwork, everybody come together and let us put all of our ideas in this basket and figure this thing out together, right?
Right.
So then we would ask the employees that we hire for that project, like, hey, is everything good? Is there anything you need from us? Is there, you know... Sometimes, let us say, sometimes we would notice that they're coming to work and they're not bringing lunch, right? We can be like, hey, they're not bringing lunch. That's on them.
Right.
But we took the initiative to like, hey, let's buy them lunch because probably they can't afford a meal because they have a situation in their home that is not allowing them to afford a meal.
Right.
So we took the initiative to, hey, let's get them lunch. Gotcha. You know, let us do what we can for them. Mm-hmm. And in return, bro, the production rate, it increased because we show them that we care about them. And because we show them that we care about them with doing stuff for them that they didn't ask, but because we have discernment and we're reading the pulse and see things that could potentially cause the job to go left, try to fix it. Try to address those problems. And
I agree.
They give us 110% every time. And we have been in that business for over 20 years combined. Mm-hmm. And our business grew because of word of mouth. We give amazing service to the customers, and the customers went and tell the other customers, and you know, this person tell the other person, and that's how we stayed in business for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. Never advertised. And the reason why, in order for the customers to be happy, we have to create a culture where we are happy doing what we do. And the people that we hire, we have to pass down that same feeling of happiness and appreciation for what you do and why you're doing it.
Yeah, but if you look at it, it's in the same realm as being in maintenance. Is that what these companies do for us though? They get us meals every now and then. They do things like little things here and there to still show that appreciation throughout the year. It's just not like we're getting a free meal every day and not getting this thing every day. sorry. So what's the difference between what you guys are doing and then compared to what you see in the maintenance industry as far as property management and residential? Wouldn't you say that's kind of like the same line that they're doing? Because you and your father in y'all's business, your family business, y'all would pay attention to what these guys are doing and what they need and kind of step in and say, like you said, no lunch or anything like that. Wouldn't you say that's the same as what they kind of do, but not as far as like being observant? They just kind of say, we're getting lunch for the team today and go from there. I would say it's kind of the same.
It's kind of the same, but in the apartment industry, well, don't let me single out the apartment industry. In general, we can all do more and we can all do better.
But what does that look like? Like, what does that even look like as far as like doing more and doing better? Are you saying more is like doing better with training, more doing better with like certain things? Like, what's the realm of that situation and how it goes? Like, how does that look?
I can go down a list, but
I know that list can be very long.
It could be very long.
So I get it. Give me just one example.
All right, one example I should say. Maintenance tech, a lot of property managers and supervisors that, you know, that handles the hiring process and onboarding and all that stuff. A lot of people expect maintenance tech to come as a one size fits all and know everything.
Gotcha.
And we are knowledgeable in the skills that we're bringing, but one of the main things I should say that we are not knowledgeable in is appliances, right?
Right.
Appliances change every year. As technology grows, these appliances become more smarter because, hey, we have this new chip that will now make the food cook faster and give you better taste and whatnot.
That is true.
When this new thing that the resident enjoy, when it goes bad, you expect the maintenance tech to fix it. But if we have no training on this new thing, then we have to train ourselves and try to figure it out.
Yeah.
Which is something that I think that the company should implement, you know, like, hey, here are the appliances that we're using for this year. You know, we probably might use it for, let us say, we probably use it for the next 5 years, and we might implement newer appliances. As the building age and we might need to upgrade, appliances and everything else will upgrade along with the structure of the building, right? Mm-hmm. So this is the appliances that we have now.
Right.
Just get some, provide training videos or something on how we can better diagnose the problem when it arises, right?
Right.
So because we don't have that training in appliances, sometimes for some maintenance tech, they can pretend because the resident is there, they can pretend they know something, and instead of making it better, they can make it worse because they don't have training.
Right. They don't have that proper diagnosis to
exactly. So that is one of the things that that can be done.
I agree with you on that
one.
Okay, so I mean, honestly, that I want to get into that whole gist of things because I do want to say that for another episode when it comes to training, because appliances are a lot smarter now. They have a lot more stuff going in them. So it's not like some things that used to be were like there's a control board, there's this and there's this. And now they have different safeties that are inside of it. And then now, even with Samsung fridges, let's say as an example, Samsung's got like three different control boards in the back of them.
That is true.
That you have to hook up to a phone on an app that the companies don't give us access to.
Right.
I get what you mean. And I do want to save that for another episode.
For sure.
So now we can go on for hours. So let's go ahead and just segue into another section of the property industry about what we're doing inside of Maintenance Diaries is what type of stories you want to tell that highlights maintenance. And like, even whether it's crazy stories, whether it's funny stories, like I know there is some the stuff we can get into.
Yeah.
Definitely, like, what are some of the type of stories that you want to share that other maintenance guys can be like, you know what? I feel that. I definitely been there, seen that, and it's happened.
Honestly, with the stories, you know, we want to tell everything, right?
Absolutely.
We want to tell the good. We want to tell the bad. We want to tell the ugly, right?
Yeah.
And the bad is not really bad as it seems.
Right.
And ugly is not as ugly as it seems.
Mm-hmm.
But telling the stories is going to be in relation to what we as technicians, not just me and you, but other technicians, you know, around the country or around the world, we experience every day, right? And
right.
it's something that we can relate. And by telling stories, it also brings a purpose for educational growth.
Right.
Because with telling the stories, somebody can say, hey, I've experienced that too. Mm-hmm. And I'll figure out how to do this.
True.
So at the same time you're telling the stories, you also creating a learning tool that we all can swap out and we all can use to enhance.
That is true.
To enhance what we do and further enhance our careers. So telling the stories and the good, the bad, the ugly is also shedding light on every facet of the apartment industry. And also, it's not only just to build a bridge between employer and employee, but also to build a bridge for resident too, with residents and employees, because there's some things that residents can do also to prevent a lot of things from happening and to prevent us coming out, you know, like simple diagnostic education, nothing too crazy.
Yeah. Just a small thing.
So yeah.
I definitely agree with you. When you do speak about that,
just sharing knowledge,
and that's basically what maintenance does anyway.
Yeah.
We call each other from different properties because even though the apartment industry is large, it's small at the same time. So we can tap into other coworkers that we've had at different properties and be like, hey man, I'm having this issue. Have you seen it before?
Mm-hmm.
So just telling those stories, I think that's a great idea. To bring that to the forefront and then turn it into a learning situation.
Yeah.
And also with, like you said, with the residents, it's amazing for us to be able to have residents watch this, hear those stories, and then kind of learn from them, learn like small things.
Yeah.
Like you said, we're in electrical boxes. Some of them don't even know where the circuit breakers are.
How to turn a breaker off.
Absolutely.
Or how to reset a breaker, you know.
So what you're saying is we don't just want to reach technicians and everybody in the industry, but we also want to reach residents as well.
Yeah, also, and the reaching of residents is for educational purposes. Educational purposes for basic diagnostic tools, right? So the goal is not just to reach maintenance technicians and residents as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's to reach property managers.
Yep.
You know, to create a better environment between property managers, leasing agents, once again, supervisors and technician. So at the end of the day, it's creating
it all intertwines,
creating a better company.
It's
culture.
Like spaghetti junction.
Exactly. Bro.
Everything's kind of just going over and connecting and going from here to there. So
I definitely
understand and I really feel.
And it's also to reach regional property managers and to reach people that's at the top of the food chain in the industry, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's to reach everybody so we all can have an idea of what everybody's going through and we can all feel the sense of teamwork and, hey, I hear your grievances. Mm-hmm. How can I help? What can we all do as a team to make what we do better?
Right.
And not only to make what we do better, but we all want to wake up in the morning with a grateful heart and a grateful mind and knowing that we're going to not just to earn a paycheck,
right?
But we also going to put a smile on someone's face, make that person's day better by providing better service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you want to have good employees, it all starts from the top.
Right.
If you treat an employee that you employ bad and you don't treat them fairly, the production that they're going to give you is going to be subpar.
Mm-hmm.
There's this phrase about a man with two dogs, right? Black dog and a white dog, right? And he feed the white dog more than he feed the black dog. So the white dog gets stronger, the black one gets weaker, right? The white ones become more productive, the black dog less productive.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a dog that's not fulfilling the purpose that is intended for that dog to fulfill, then you don't need that dog no more. You start paying attention to the one that you feed the most.
Right.
Right? So if you want to have better production, you have to feed both of them the same way. Say, hey, we are all in this together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not about just me. It's about not what I can do for you or what you can do for me, but what we can do together to create a better tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And also to create a company where we have employees that want to work there for the rest of their lives just because of how you made them feel.
Right.
A lot of the time, for you to get awesome production out of your employees, it's simple. It's how you make them feel.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of people would wake up in the morning and they would dread going to their job, not just in the apartment industry, yeah, but in any industry, right? And the reason why they dread it, and you might feel like, that person is ungrateful, and that person is this, and that person is that, right? Mm-hmm. And you just pointing fingers, and you just guessing, right? And assuming. But take the time to find out why. A lot of people don't ask why, so they never get the answers. Because if you don't ask why, then you will never know the how.
Right.
Right? So if that person is disgruntled about their job, or they don't feel like, hey, why am I here today? I could be somewhere else. And they have no choice, but they have to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And because they go there with that attitude, because of the culture that is created there, they will never perform at their best because of the environment.
Okay.
So if we all can take inventory into ourselves and each other and see what I can do to make your life better, what you can do to make my life better, because as a team, we are all trying to fulfill the goal of the company that we work for. And if the company wants to be known and respected as amazing, and it's an amazing place to work, mm-hmm, it's an amazing place to live, it's an amazing place to grow, and if you want to further your career, this is the place to be. Right. If you want to be that thing, then you have to create that environment that it exudes.
Yeah.
That thing. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. So yeah, that basically segues into what we want people to feel whenever they are tuning into these episodes and listening.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, I want them to feel seen,
right,
heard, and I want them to let them know that we are here for them.
Yeah.
We're here to help. We are here to shed, you know, their honest opinions, and
yeah,
we're here to build a better bridge between employee, employer,
mm-hmm,
employer, resident. So I want everybody that is listening to really understand what maintenance goes through, what they,
yeah,
deal with,
yeah,
how they assess situations. And I want them to understand that, you know, we are in this industry because we love what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We want to help. We want to continue to service our residents and make their living experience a better experience, and to, mm-hmm, take care of their needs,
right,
whenever they're needed. So that's just my opinion of what I want people to feel coming from,
yeah,
this episode. And if you have something to say about that and input as well, what do you think?
Well, the only thing I would say, well, not the only thing, but one of the things I would say is the purpose of the podcast, mm-hmm, is not to call out this company or call out this particular company. You know, we're not here to bash this one person or bash that one person. Mm-hmm. We're here to shed light on the industry as a whole.
I agree.
You know, because this is something that we do, and how we do it, it affects our daily lives. Also, it affects the lives of the people that we serve. So the goal is to shed light on everything because we all need to grow.
Yeah.
We all need to improve in certain, you know, in certain aspects of our lives and our careers, right?
Right.
So in order for you to fix a problem, you first have to admit that there is a problem.
Yeah. And there is a problem.
And there is, yeah.
We will be getting into some of those
things.
There's
a lot of stuff that needs to be addressed.
As the time goes on and has episodes going on.
Yes, sir.
So I'm excited about what we have in store for everyone.
Yeah.
I'm excited about this journey that we decided to embark on.
Yeah.
And really shed light on an industry that hasn't been talked about. It's an industry that's kind of like went under the radar.
Yeah.
That nobody really cares to really mention.
Because
this industry is something that intertwines with everyone around the world, not even just here in America.
That's true.
Global.
That's true.
As a maintenance person, like, you are global in this situation, and we interact with different people from all walks of life. So I think that as far as like this thing goes, like, we're going to reach out that realm, and we're going to, you know, reach these people and just kind of just give them some hope, I can say, and give them a voice that needs to be heard. And like you said, we're not here to bash anybody. So I'm just excited about the journey, excited about what the Maintenance Diaries is going to bring to the forefront.
Yeah.
And hopefully, like, you know, we can get to these companies and really just be a mouthpiece, and they can really understand the pulse of what, you know, we deal with on a daily and how we actually feel, good, bad, and ugly.
Yeah. Honestly, guys, like, we're just trying to be a voice to those who are afraid to use theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we can encourage those people to use their voice, you know, not to be combative.
Yeah.
You know, but just to use their voice to bring about change.
Yep.
Because there's a famous saying, a closed mouth don't get fed, right?
At all.
So if you want to be fed, you have to open your mouth and speak and say something, you know? And
agree.
The way you will get what you want is how you ask.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are afraid to ask because they don't know how to.
Yeah.
You know, so the Maintenance Diary is a global mic that everyone can speak into so their voices can be heard. And with that, it can bring about the positive change that we all need, bro.
Absolutely.
And for maintenance techs, for the leasing agents, for the property managers, for the supervisors, I'll say this, man. You matter. You matter. You are important. You are significant. Without you,
there will be
no industry.
There wouldn't. There would not
be. You are important. You are needed. You are loved. You are appreciated.
I agree.
And we are going to highlight you, celebrate you, and let everybody know that you are important.
That's right.
You are an asset. You're not a liability.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So we just want to, you know, shed some light on the industry and the people that makes the industry and how successful it is.
Yeah.
People see the success, but they don't see behind the scenes of how the success is being displayed, you know?
That's true.
And we are the ones that play a major role in making these companies successful.
Mm-hmm.
So this podcast is going to highlight all of that, man. We're going to touch on a lot of topics, man, but this first episode is just to give you an introductory context of what we're going to talk about, what we are, why we're doing this, why we're passionate about what we do, and why we love what we do,
yep.
and why we want to continue doing the things that we're doing.
That's facts.
And how we can bridge the gap just to make our lives better.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy about this podcast. I'm happy about this amazing journey that we've embarked on.
Yeah.
And I'm appreciative of my coworker, aka friend, who I've gained, and now I've gained a brother and a partner.
Mm-hmm.
And we both have the same goals in this current career that we're in right now.
Yeah.
And we just hope that the love that we have for what we do would be reciprocated.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
So with that being said, I just want to welcome you guys to the Maintenance Diaries.
Welcome to the Diaries, guys.
Welcome to the Diaries. So you know what you need to do.
Diaries.
You need to like, subscribe, and share.
And spread the word.
Spread the word.
Join the team and let us do amazing things.
That's right.
Let us do amazing things. Because without you guys, trust me, this wouldn't be possible, okay? So we all need to be in this together for the common goal of making our lives better. So please like, share, subscribe.
All that.
Tell your friends to tell their friends to tell their friends, and let us make this thing a great success for all of us.
And also, too, like for next episodes, if you guys want us to touch on certain things, go to that comment box and type in things that you want us to talk about, things that you want to bring to the forefront, and even just give us some of your stories that we can share in those next episodes and kind of just highlight you guys and then go from there. So definitely thank you guys for being a part of this first episode. And I thank you guys for subscribing and riding along on this journey with us and the success that we're going to have with this, with the Maintenance Diary. So thank you guys again. And you got anything else, Mike?
Nope. Nah, I have a lot, but
I know, but for now,
you know, this is it, man.
That's
but
right.
Like he said, you know, don't forget to like, share, subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of episodes, you will have a brand new episode every week.
Yep.
So look forward for that. And don't just like, share, and subscribe. Also hit the notification icon so you will always be notified when a new episode is uploaded. Also, you will find our podcast not only on YouTube, but you'll find it on Spotify and you'll find it on Apple Podcasts and wherever podcasts are being streamed.
Absolutely.
You'll find it everywhere.
And also, just subscribe to not just the YouTube channel, subscribe to the Instagram, subscribe to the TikTok, because we're going to be doing maintenance videos on those things to kind of help residents, help maintenance techs. We're just going to start a broad variety of things that we want to have in these episodes. So subscribe to everything Maintenance Diaries across every platform and join the family.
Yeah. Instagram, by the way, is the Maintenance Diaries. TikTok is the Maintenance Diaries as well.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead, get on there, give us a follow, give us a like and share. And you can also leave questions in the comment section of Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And TikTok also on the YouTube channel. We also have a Reddit account as well. And we just want to make it engaging so you guys can access. Just tell us, you know, some of the things that you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever questions you have, just throw it in the chat and we will do our best to answer those questions and to make this thing amazing.
And, oh, one more thing too. We're also
there's more.
We're also going to be working on a Twitch account so that way we can live stream when we have problems on the job and you can see exactly how we're diagnosing, how we're fixing. So that's going to be more to come as well. So just, you know, stay tuned.
Stay tuned, man. Once again, man, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
My name is Michael.
And I'm Fred.
And we are
The Maintenance Diaries.
Peace. Catch you guys on the next one.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
My boy.
Hell yeah.
This was good. Let's go.